As I mentioned just now, as you know, today is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow is the second day. So I thought tonight and tomorrow, just to explore a little bit with you about Rosh Chodesh and its place in our calendar and some of the perhaps interesting background information about Rosh Chodesh. So if you think about Rosh Chodesh, it's sort of like not really a holiday. In fact, perhaps its essential service is an enabling service. When you know Rosh Chodesh, then you know when any of the holidays or specific events that happen in the rest of the month. But you need to establish when Rosh Chodesh is first in order to know when Pesach is, when Shavuos is, Sukkot is. You need to know when Rosh Chodesh is. But in and of itself, it doesn't seem to be a major moment in the calendar. It doesn't occupy a lot of space in the Shulchan Aruch. Really, it only has 12 simanim, and some of them are extremely short. But let's just take a look, perhaps, at the beginning of the... some of the simanim. Let me just do a little bit of a rundown on what the Shulchan Aruch wants us to know when it comes to Rosh Chodesh. So obviously, there's some things that are obvious. We need to know about Yalei V'Yavo, whether it's Yalei V'Yavo in the Amidah, whether it's Yalei V'Yavo in Birkat HaMazon. We need to know about Hallel, because that's something that's recited clearly on Rosh Chodesh. We need to know a little bit about the laning. Is there a special laning? How many aliyahs? As you know, we have a sort of a protocol. Weekday, 3 aliyahs. Rosh Chodesh, it's 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov, it's 5 aliyahs. Yom Kippur is 6 aliyahs. And Shabbos is 7 aliyahs. So just by the allocation of numbers of aliyahs, there's some sort of indication that there's something elevated. The Rosh Chodesh is not exactly like a Yom Tov, which is 5, but it's also not entirely like a regular weekday, because that's 3 aliyahs, we go to 4 aliyahs. One of the questions, and this is where we're going to jumping off point, is Melacha. So any Yom Tov, you know, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, you know that there's an Isser Melacha. There's certain activities which are prohibited. Does that apply to Rosh Chodesh? Well, doesn't seem to be. So let's just take a look at the way the Shulchan Aruch introduces us to the notion of Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. And it's in Siman Taf Yud Zayin. And this is how it starts. Rosh Chodesh Mutar Basiyat Melacha. Well, Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to do Melacha. All of the things that you associate with, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, for sure is okay. And all the things you associate are Melacha that you can't do on Yom Tov, totally fine. Then the Shulchan Aruch says this, interesting. V'hanashim shenohagot shelo lasot bo melacha, huminag tov. But for those women who have the custom not to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh, that's a minhag tov. It's an appropriate minhag. Did you know that? Did you know the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a minhag amongst women not to do melacha? However, the Ramar of Moshe Isserlish, the gloss from the Polish Jewry, the Ashkenazic insertion, says this: Ve'ima minhag lasot miktsat melachot velo lasot ktsatan. And if the women have this minhag to do some melacha but not others, in other words, apparently the Mechaber Rav Yosef Karo suggests that there's a minhag not to do any melacha. But Rav Moshe Isserlish says, well, in our communities there seems to be even less stringency. There are some melacha that women do, and some melacha that women don't do. So he says, Azlinan batar haminhag, whatever the minhag is of the place in which you're living, so that's what we do. So what is this? Is there a malacha you do? Is there a malacha you don't do? Why should there be this notion of not doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh? It's not a Yom Tov, or it doesn't seem to be a Yom Tov. And the uncertainty is fascinating. Do what your community does. Don't do what? Where does that come from? So I'm going to share with you a midrashic source, Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. So listen to this Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, which perhaps gives us a background to Rosh Chodesh, which may or may not have been clear. So the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer takes us all the way back to Parshat Ki Tisa. Parshat Ki Tisa in the story of Chet HaEgel. And it reminds us of the pressure that Aharon was under, because the people insisted that he build for them some sort of figure, which turns out to be the Egel HaZahav. Dan Aharon din beino levein atzmo. As this moment was unfolding, Aharon then was thinking to himself. He was arguing with himself. What should he do? How should he proceed? Amar. So he says to himself, Im ani omer li Yisrael tenuli kesef v'zahav miyad hem mevi'im. If I tell all the guys, give me all your gold, give me all your precious items, they're for sure going to come, and I'm going to be forced into a situation to create the Egel of Zahav. So Aharon is clever. He needs to think about how to proceed. Ella hareini omer lahem tnuli nizme nishechem v'nizne b'neichem uvnotechem. So Aharon says, I have a chap. I have an idea. I'm not going to ask the men to give me the gold that they have. I'm going to ask them to ask their wives to give me the gold jewelry. That's great. Earrings and bracelets, whatever they have. V'haya hadavar batel mimenu. And he says, I'm pretty sure that if I do it this way, this whole thing's going to blow over and it's going to fail. So this is how Pirkei to Rabbi Eliezer says it went. So the men apparently went to their women, to their wives. Shamu anashim, so the women heard what the men are saying. Hey, honey, give me all your jewelry. We're going to be now making some sort of egel. You know, it's time that we sort of move ahead. V'lo kiblu aleihem liten nizmehem aleihem. They said, no way, we're not going to do that. No way. Ela amru lahem. So the women said to the men, atem rotzim la'asot shikutz v'toeva she'en bo koach lahatzil. They said to their husbands, are you guys crazy? You want to make a graven image that has absolutely no power, no ability to help us? What are you thinking? Lo shamulahem. They said, no way, we're out of this. Do not, don't involve us at all. And that's exactly what happened. V'natan hakadosh baruch hu scharan shel nashim be'olam hazeh u'be'olam haba. And Hashem decided, because of what they did, to reward the women also in this world and in the next world. U'masachar natan lahem, says Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, what reward was given to the women? La'olam haba u'la'olam hazeh, shehein mishamrot roshei chodeshim, that they observe Rosh Chodesh, shenemar, amazbi betov adecha titadesh kenesh enu raich. And he quotes a pasuk, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer quotes a pasuk from Sefer Tehillim, which suggests that the women will be renewed like the new moon. Who satisfies your years with good things, says Tehillim, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So this notion of renewal is a notion that attaches itself to women far more than the men. So we have this idea of Rosh Chodesh being a reward for the women's refusal to participate in the Chet HaEgel. Doesn't exactly explain the status yet of Rosh Chodesh. It definitely does explain the connection between women and Rosh Chodesh. But I want to share with you one other source tonight. And that's from the Tur, the Arba Turim. One of the first formulations of a legal code upon which the Yosef Karo built and constructed the Shulchan Aruch. So in the same siman, Taf Yud Zayin, which is the siman for the beginning halacha of Rosh Chodesh, the Arba Torim quotes his brother. And he says, my brother taught me something fascinating. Listen to what he says. Lefi shehamo'adim nitkanu keneged avot. He says, all the Yom Tovs in our year, the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they were established to parallel each of our three avot. Pesach parallels Avraham. Why? Keneged Avraham. Dichti, because it says in the Chumash, Lushi v'asi ugot. Do you remember when Avram was welcoming the three angels into his tent? He quickly runs to Sarah and says, Sarah, quickly, quickly, make some food for our guests. And she bakes matzahs. And the Gemara says it was on Pesach. So Pesach somehow is connected to Avram Avinu. Shavuos, keneged Yitzchak. Why? Shetkiyat shofar shel matan Torah haya b'shofar me'elo shel Yitzchak. Because the Torah tells us in Parshat Yitro that the sound of a shofar was blowing at the scene of matan Torah. Why a shofar? Because of the ayil that was caught in the thicket when Avram Avinu was bringing Yitzchak. So the sound of the shofar resonates with the story of Akedat Yitzchak. And then he says, Sukkot keneged Yaakov. And Yaakov parallels Sukkot. How so? Because it says in Sefer Bereishit, Ulemiknehu asa Sukkot. At one point in his return back to Eretz Yisrael from being at Lavan's house, he built Sukkot for his animals. So Sukkot, a specific and explicit connection to Yaakov. So I have the connection between Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then the Torah adds, fascinating. He says this, V'yud beit roshei chodashim hashana, and the 12 Rosh Chodeshes of the year, heim nikra'im moadim, they are called moed, they're called a Yom Tov. They were intended to be a Yom Tov. Every Rosh Chodesh was intended to be a moed, like Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Keneged yud beit shvatim. And why 12? Not just for the 12 months, but for the 12 shvatim. Every Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a Rosh Chodesh, as it were, showing kavod to whom? The nasi of each of the 12 shvatim. U'keshechat'u be'egel natlu mehem v'natnu l'neshotehem. But when the Egel Azahav happened, Hashem took Rosh Chodesh away from all the men, all the shvatim, and what did he give them to? He gave them to the women. L'zecher shelo hayu be'oto hachet. In order to commemorate, to remind everybody that they refused to participate. So it's something interesting. The status of Rosh Chodesh was not specifically created for the women, but rather what, is the Torah saying? It was actually created for everybody. But we all lost it. Why did we all lose it? Because of Cheta Ego. The women did not participate, so it remained for the women. Not perhaps at the level that it was originally intended. According to perhaps an implication of the tour, it was supposed to have been a moed. It was supposed to have been something on a higher level. But we still maintain some semblance of that higher level. Certainly at least the women do. And that's where we have the minhag for some women that were not, that they were careful not to do all sorts of malacha in some communities, not to do any malacha. And then, in fact, not in this siman, but in other simanim, it says that one should, in fact, try to the best of her ability to have a sudat Rosh Chodesh. You don't necessarily have to wash over shtei alechem. You don't have to have lechem mishnah. You don't have to wash and bench. But one should try during the course of Rosh Chodesh to have something, an extra food, an extra tafshil, an extra something special at your Sudat Rosh Chodesh to remind us of what once was in our grasp, and unfortunately, we let it go. So tonight I just wanted to introduce the notion of this aspect of Rosh Chodesh and the idea of where it comes from. And tomorrow, Mi'eretz Hashem, I want to take a look at yet one other aspect of Rosh Chodesh, which seems to stir up some association with Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaDin. And we'll take a look at that tomorrow night in Yirtzeh Hashem. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakot Yid Yisrael Lefichach Yirbal Hem Torah Mitzvot Sheneamar Adonai Chafetz Leman Tzidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir Kaddish DeRabbanan. Yizkara Shemei Rabo Amen.